Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
You're listening to Zed Games, Australia's most beloved gaming radio program. We are coming to you live from 4ZZZ. You might be listening to us around the nation on the Community Radio Network. I am Lee, and joining me for this episode is practically a full house. All of our adult games journalists are here. Our junior reporter is not, but apart from that, Razor.
Hello.
How's it going, buddy?
Very good, thank you.
Excellent. Miss Candy Payne.
Hi.
B Bravo.
Yo.
Tom.
Hello.
Tom just snuck in and hasn't worked out which microphone he's going to use yet.
No, I think I'm using this one.
Okay, he's over there. That's good. Ray, what's happening? What are we doing?
The Electronic Entertainment Expo is happening in Los Angeles this week, happening right now, in fact, and we've got some juicy nuggets of information that have been revealed, and we'd love to speculate upon them wildly as we do every year.
Right.
Yes.
So we're just going to make up stuff based on videos that we have seen.
Isn't that games journalism?
Yes.
That is games journalism.
Excellent.
Yeah, so there have been some notable announcements that we'll get to shortly, as well as that we have been exhaustively reviewing all of the trailers, every single one of them. The whole team's been doing it these last few days, and we've chosen some of our favorite cuts to tell you guys about. Some of the highlights of things that might be coming up in the next year.
So if you like hearing people talk about videos they've watched over the past couple of days, boy, are you in for a roller coaster of, like, champagne radio.
Just before we dive in, I guess we should just talk about the E3 convention as it's colloquially known.
You mean before we talk about it for, like, the next 40 minutes?
We'll just give a little introduction for maybe the listener who is unaware of what E3 is. So it's basically the largest largest press conference in the field of video games each year. And the major video game manufacturers and publishers use it as an opportunity to sort of give a little bit of a glimpse into the next year or so of what's happening in the world of gaming. Traditionally used for big reveals like consoles or new hardware. A lot of game developers use it as an opportunity to showcase or announce big titles that are coming up.
Yes. So this was the first E3 that actually opened its doors to the public. There were about 15,000 tickets went on sale for public consumption, and that has resulted in a very different feeling show, apparently, on the stage floor. Mostly a very crowded one.
Do you know if it's sold out?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Yes. I mean, 15,000 for a lot of people who go to PAX, and PAX is what, like, close to 40 now?
Yeah, yes.
Like, yeah, I'm sure 15,000 of those enthusiastic people are willing to shell out money for it.
Yep.
So without further ado, there have been some major announcements made. Candy, what have we got?
Well, Microsoft lifted the curtain on a new Xbox console due for release on the 7th of November. Previously referred to, upon its announcement at last year's E3, as Project Scorpio, the official product name is Xbox One X. I'm just going to call it the Xbox, with the price set at $649. The Xbox X will be the most powerful home console ever released by a large margin, with the ability to natively output 4K resolution graphics. The system won't have exclusive titles. Current and future Xbox One games will see performance benefits from the increased system power. Backwards compatibility with original Xbox games was also mentioned, with select games to be available digitally on all Xbox One devices.
Candy, I have a question.
Yeah.
So earlier, Microsoft announced and then released another variation of the Xbox One.
The S.
So that's
not to be confused with the X.
Yes. That's basically what I was getting at. That seems confusing and dumb.
Pointless is the word I would probably use, but totally agree.
I mean, in written form, the characters X and S are quite distinguishable.
Yes.
As we're discovering now when we're speaking, it can be misheard, mispronounced. say you were going to a game store with, you know, only the foggiest idea of what your grandchild wanted for Christmas, it could be easily, there could be some confusion there, I imagine.
I just don't care for the names. I think they've just let themselves down. That's really boring. I preferred Project Scorpio, you know, or the Xbox One S could have been X-Bones. This could have been, I don't know, X-Bone X, something cool. I don't know, Xbox One X. Mm.
But, like, this isn't really, this is just an upgrade to the Xbox One. It's not a new console. It's basically the PS4 Pro, right?
Mm. So one is
like,
slim. Okay, so let's clarify. One is slim, one is small, but with 4K graphics.
Yeah, but, like, it's... Mm. I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem that much different. It's not a new console. It's just a really big upgrade to the current console with 4K graphics and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, technically, like, it's a hardware revision, but of a level that would, like, if it were any more of an update, they would have had to have basically just been like, it's the new Xbox, right?
Mm. Right.
But they don't want to do that because that would upset everyone.
Because it's still a new system. It's, what, been
three or four years?
Yeah,
yeah.
So, like, that seems like a short life. Like, that's like, we've given up on the Xbox One. We're just going to go straight to the next one. But they're not giving up. They're just upgrading it?
This seems like a direct response to the fact that the PlayStation 4 had a very incremental edge over the Xbox One upon release, where it also launched a bit more cheaper because of it didn't have the Kinect as well. So when you'd go to the shop and you were sort of rationally evaluating your choices, you'd be like, okay, PlayStation 4 is more powerful slightly, but it's cheaper as well. And I'm sure that some of the higher ups in Microsoft were just clenching their fists and gritting their teeth going, oh no, I don't like that. We're going to be the most powerful. This has got to be the best console ever, because it eclipses the PlayStation Pro, which is Sony's version of this, by like double or something like that. Like, it's not just an equal to the PlayStation Pro, it smashes it.
Yeah.
But how many people have a 4K TV is the other question.
Well, I was going to say, in their announcement, they tried to get around that, saying, we're not designed this just for people with the 4K TV. You can still use it and it'll make your current games look better. But I call balls on that. I just think my TV is not going to magically become like a super TV because I'm running a more powerful machine. If anything, it's probably going to run like a little bit more slow, a little bit more static. I might have some screen jumping every now and then because it's not going to be able to keep up with this super powerful machine that I've now plugged into it. And so, I don't know. That was not my most exciting announcement that I listened to from this conference. And the Avatar stuff, they talked about the new avatars, like that was a massive selling point. But like, yeah. I don't know how many of you still do anything with your avatar and
I don't have an Xbox One.
Well, just going back to the Xbox One X, Tom, do you have a differing opinion on the Xbox One X?
Oh, you know, I mean, I looked into the specs for this and I really, really wanted it. And for me, my justification was like, I bought my Xbox One day one. So that was a while ago. Mm. It could do with an upgrade, but I don't really, at this price point, $650, I don't really see myself any real justification for buying this.
It's a tough one to justify, really. Like, if you don't have it, then absolutely, this is the Xbox that you should purchase.
Or you can get the Xbox One S since it's cheaper.
That's right.
And just play
and
those.
And slimmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not smaller. It's,
no,
yeah,
it's just thin.
I don't like the fact that console makers have decided that they're going to charge us for a new machine every year or two now. We should have punished phone companies for doing that to us, and we didn't. We let them get away with it and rewarded them with our money.
And not when the history of consoles is that, you know, my first one, like my classic, I had for a solid 6 years before I had to upgrade. And the last one, my 360, I don't know, that was another five or something that I had it. Mm. I had no problems, you know. Now this one, what, I'm three years in at that, and they've had another two since, I don't know.
Well, with existing Xbox One owners, you know, I really see it as a hard sell, because not only is it competing, you know, with the PlayStation Pro and the PlayStation 4, but the Nintendo Switch is an attractive proposition, and it's $200 cheaper.
Yeah.
A whole different library of games that aren't overlapping with your current library or the future library, and also it has that portable functionality that is being seen more and more as like a real actual tangible reason to get the system. So I mean, like, if you're an Xbox One owner, are you going to, you know, take your $75 EB trade in and do it, or are you gonna upgrade, or you could buy a Nintendo Switch for like $200 cheaper? I don't know, it
probably
seems less attractive.
Yeah. It's even smaller than the Xbox One X. Nintendo's press video presentation contained several announcements of note. A new entry in the dormant Metroid series, Metroid Prime 4, was announced but not shown. It was announced that a fully featured Pokemon game was in development for the Nintendo Switch, but it was a year away from release at the very earliest. A release date for Super Mario Odyssey was given as the 27th of October, and the Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle game that was leaked earlier this year was officially announced and given a release date of the 29th of August. A new Kirby game out next year for the Switch was also announced, and a brief video featuring local multiplayer gameplay was shown.
How did you forget the Yoshi game?
And Yoshi.
Yeah, the Yoshi
game. That was also Yoshi game.
Yeah, that was really cute. Yeah.
There was a Yoshi game. It looked really great.
The Mario Odyssey gameplay footage, there was about 8 or 9 minutes of it, looked pretty dope.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hat-flinging action. You can possess people and objects.
Yeah, that was amazing.
How can you possess a human?
Don't ask these questions, just embrace.
I mean, the human, I think we all have experience possessing a human in some fashion, in that we are one.
Okay, now I'm scared and we need to talk about this off air now. Jeez.
But, like, the dinosaur thing was...
That was really cool.
You know, he threw his hat at a dinosaur and then he became a dinosaur. It's been a good E3.
But definitely very confidence-instilling on Nintendo's behalf. Those are a pretty significant announcements if you're on the fence about getting a Switch and like you're into Pokemon or Metroid or anything like that. That's a, you know, that's something to seal the deal for a Switch purchase over the next 12 months.
Definitely. Sony announced that a remastered version of a PlayStation 2 classic, Shadow of the Colossus, is in development and on track for a 2018 release. Monster Hunter will appear on other consoles after a lengthy period of Nintendo exclusivity. Monster Hunter World will release for PS4, Xbox One, and PC in 2018.
I was actually really keen to see that Monster Hunter stuff, and it looked really, really good. Like, I've dabbled in the series before, and this is... I've heard from people who are like hardcore fans of the series that they're concerned that this is kind of a dumbing down of what is a very, very technical and weird and sometimes quite off-putting but very popular game series where you spend a lot of time planning to hunt giant monsters, and then after you chop them up a bit, you wear their pieces as your outfit to hunt the next monster. And, you know, it seemed very action-oriented and had a lot of, like, cool detective mode tracking and stuff that isn't generally in the other games. But, man, it looked nice. How good was it when he did the flip and then chopped that giant T-Rex with his big sword?
Poor T-Rex.
I'm actually really looking forward to Shadow of the Colossus because that's one of the games that, you know, I missed when it came out, and it's so dated now. But everybody still talks it up as being absolutely fantastic. So as far as I know, we're not really sure if this is going to be a remaster or a remake or what, but I'm pretty excited for this title.
Yeah, so it was a PS2 title originally. It got remade for the PS3. And I think that got released on the PS4 as well in some fashion, but this is like a proper like HD going over.
Yeah. This new game looks fantastic in a way those other ones didn't.
Here we are with myself, Razor, Candy Payne, Lee, Tommy Mac, and B Bravo. And we're talking all about E3, the electronic...
I was going to ask who Tommy Mac was, sorry.
Bro.
I've never heard you call him that.
It's this guy.
Tom's been off air for a few weeks, but it hasn't been that long,
yeah,
Candy.
Yeah, jeez.
I know, Tommy Mac. No, that's
we're
cool.
Talking
I
all,
can roll with it.
We're talking
that's
all
rough,
about...
That's rough, buddy. I'm sorry.
I thought we were friends.
All right, Tom's here. Let's get over it. E3 at the Electronic Entertainment Expo is happening right now in LA. And we're not going to provide or attempt to provide comprehensive, definitive coverage at all. If there are thousands of hours of videos on the internet if you want to look at all the trailers. What we're going to do is just pick a handful, the cream of the crop, a few of our choice picks to talk about, the games that we're excited about that are coming out over the next year or so. Firstly, Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yes, as probably the biggest Assassin's Creed fan in this group. obviously longtime lover of the game. I'm very excited that we're moving to Egypt. I always get really scared when I hear what the next announcement is going to be, you know, what country where we're moving to. But this one looks really amazing. I'm really excited. There's a few big changes with this. They announced their underwater sequences, so you can go diving, you can actually explore a whole other world below the water, which is nice. Not the first game to ever do things under the sea, but I'm glad they brought that to Assassins. One thing I'm not happy about is... Why?
What's so funny?
No,
it's a very specific complaint.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a what really... Look, it might be funny to you, but everybody else might be thrilled with it. I don't care, my opinion. I'm not thrilled that they've got rid of Eagle Vision, because that was the one thing I loved about the game. I loved Eagle Vision, and now they've got rid of it, and you have to control an eagle, and I don't have time to have a pet. I'm an awesome assassin. It makes no sense to me. I'm sorry, I just wanted the game to do it for me. You know, I click a button and I can see. That's great. I don't want to have to control a bird that's going to fly above the world for me, and then I have to maneuver it and look at things on the ground, because that's just... I don't actually use that. Like, I don't think that far ahead as an assassin that I'm planning out every single move. I climb up, I jump down, and I attack with my blades.
If I may play Eagle's advocate here.
Touche, sir. Yes, please.
So the Eagle Vision that you were describing in the previous Assassin's Creed games is essentially that you have, like, X-ray vision, and not even that, really. Like, your enemies are highlighted red.
Yeah, so I know where they are. I can see through walls. It's great.
Yeah, but it's kind of not particularly interesting. It's useful sometimes. It doesn't have all that much functionality. It doesn't really add any fun gameplay hooks. Whereas this here, you know, having to actually control the flight of an eagle that you can apparently ultimately upgrade to have it attack and do things for you is like taking the same kind of system of being able to, you know, see the environment and plan ahead, but making it a more active and engaging activity. Now, it is certainly something that they have stolen from their own other franchise, Far Cry.
Primal.
But that is Ubisoft. They are trying to merge all of their games into one video game that will have all of the things that are good about all of their other games.
Well, yes, there's plenty of animals and crafting and all of that in this as well. So they've taken a few elements from Far Cry Primal.
Yeah. So I think it is very, very funny that you are so, so angry that they took away the thing that was a one-button press that made guys go red and turned it into, like, an actual, like, cool, controllable element. Yeah.
No, it's fine. Feel free to disagree. I don't care. But I just have this feeling it's not going to play out as well as they anticipate, and it won't be called upon as often as they probably want people to actually fly a bird above the ground and look at things and plan out attack.
It's basically the drone from Watch Dogs as well, right?
Yeah.
And people use the heck out of that.
Yeah,
and
that was fun.
They put that into, like, another game as well. I bet there's going to be a drone as well in Far Cry 5, right? Like, they're going to put a drone in that, because you can't control an eagle when you're just fighting hillbillies in America. I think that it's already being used in other games.
I know. I didn't use it much in Far Cry. That's, I think, why I'm disappointed in this, is because I
should have. It's
got
great.
Sick of it.
He dropped bees on people.
Yeah, I know, but I just got a little bit sick of it. I don't know. It's just not my enjoyment in a game.
Yeah, look, Candy, if you want that functionality, I mean, how many Assassin's Creed games have been released so far with that feature, with the one-button eagle vision? I mean, like, 30?
And it's never really that useful either.
Yeah, I mean, this is... remember, Assassin's Creed has taken a year off. The development team have gone back and sort of looked at the franchise with some fresh eyes.
I like
apparently.
The rest of what they've introduced.
So they're trying to, like, you know, mix it up a little bit, and that should be, you know, that should be applauded a little bit.
And, you know, we discussed this off air before, but this is meant to be, like, it's an origin story, right? It's called Origins.
Makes sense.
So, I mean, it could well be that this is how future generations of assassins actually get eagle vision, through this guy and his ability to see through the eyes of his eagle.
You should be writing this stuff, bro. Yeah, that was great.
Maybe I already am.
Tumblr. Makes perfect sense. That's fine. I'm just excited about the underwater stuff. I think I'll spend more time there.
Okay, moving on now. another game that was announced. It's a PlayStation 4 exclusive. Spider-Man.
How many eagles are in this?
I don't know,
sure.
But he's on a lot of building tops, that's for sure.
I don't think
sure.
he has any eagle. I guess the vulture would be the closest enemy to him.
Yeah.
It looked really good. It looked like Batman in daytime, and I'm all about like Spider-Man like causing sass on rooftops.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Spider-Man, let it be known. And Spider-Man's like the one character, I think, well, one of a few characters that is just so perfect for video games. It was almost like they designed it for video games, but of course that's impossible because he was created in the 60s. But like his web-slinging action, you know, he's mobile, he's great, I don't know. The web-slinging thing is just so conducive to video game awesomeness, and we haven't had that many good Spider-Man games so far. I think the last good one was like in 2004.
We've had a bunch of them, though. I mean, that's the thing, is that this is Insomniac, which is a team that have produced like actually really, really, really good games. In the past, Activision have loaned the Spider-Man license out to... They gave it to the Tony Hawk guys, and they produced the Spider-Man 2 game that a lot of people reference as having like just the best web slinging ever. And then after that point, it was a smaller team was handed this license, and they have made progressively worse Spider-Man games over the next like 10-ish years. And so it's like nice to see them actually like putting love and attention into this franchise again.
I'm hoping that halfway through the game, something happens and Miles Morales becomes Spider-Man, and then you have two different Spider-Mans to play, because that would be exciting. Because that was the end of the trailer, was the kids saying, like, hey, we have to go. Come on, Miles. And that's the ultimate Spider-Man right now, and that would be so cool to play.
Yeah, I agree. The gameplay looked very slick, very fluid. The animation of Spider-Man was... like perfect in my opinion as a longtime Spider-Man fan. It shows him like cruising around on some scaffolding up high on a New York rooftop, you know, stealthily taking up baddies, kind of like Batman does in his games, but you know, with webs instead. And that
and,
was really
and talkbacks
cool.
as well, because like that's the whole thing, is
yeah,
like him
smart-ass.
Talking back, yeah, exactly, which yeah. Batman doesn't really have. It's just like Alfred says a thing and then Batman just stoically says nothing.
Yeah. Then we moved on to like an amazing action sequence where he's like flying through the air and high above Manhattan.
And going through buildings, too.
Yeah.
That was really awesome.
And it was just, it was really cool. And, like, you know, as a Spider-Man fan, I had a huge grin on my face. Mm-hmm. And although it looked a bit quick-timey, some of the cool actions, like, they had button prompts up there, and I was like, okay, that's kind of lame. But, you know, Spider-Man can't do everything.
I wonder if they're actually going to use New York. Because, I mean, the Division basically scanned through most of New York, so it would be kind of cool if it was, like, actual streets, but I'm pretty excited with just the gameplay and, like, what's hopefully going to happen.
Mm. It is also interesting that it's a PlayStation 4 exclusive. Seems like a kind of a big game to lock down.
Hey, guess what? Sony. Sony.
Yeah, they own the film rights to the character, so...
Yep.
It's not that surprising, I think.
Yeah.
Not that surprising, like, legally speaking, but, you know...
Just a bummer.
It's interesting given that the last game that Insomniac did was Sunset Overdrive, which was an Xbox One exclusive and launch title. And I mean, this clearly is feeding off a lot of the movement systems that they developed for that game. If they can get that to work, if they can get their camera system to work with Spider-Man, which is always the worst thing when you have a character who can stick to walls and go upside down and then get stuck in a corner and like kind of like you have to figure out how to get him to then go from walking up to walking towards you, and the camera has to not freak out. I don't know if you've played a Spider-Man game in the past, but it's a good way to get motion sickness, I can tell you that much.
It was also said that Spider-Man has been delayed, expected previously for a 2017 release. It's now being pushed to 2018,
which is fine.
Yeah,
I'd rather have a good game than
a earlier game.
Yeah.
Dudes, Anthem is the new game from BioWare.
Yeah.
Previously known for games like Mass Effect, Dragon Age.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get it out. I don't like BioWare anymore.
Oh.
This game looks so good, and I hate myself for liking it.
Okay, so it's like the X that you got super hot. And you have to look at Instagram
Boo.
Posts.
Yeah.
Ex-partner.
Anyway, point being is, it's a different like BioWare game. It's like from a different BioWare studio. So like everybody's thinking it's just one company, but it's one company with a bunch of different studios in it. So like it's not like they looked at Andromeda and were like, oh crap, and like did a new game. It's like this game hasn't been in development for years in a different part of BioWare.
But here's the thing, though, is that like Andromeda, which we all have strong feelings about, suffered because of the development of this. Like the team and the devs that had worked on their previous games all got pulled away from Andromeda to work on Project Dylan.
Watching this trailer, like that was the thought going through my head. Oh, that's where the money went.
Yeah, and it's in like a number of articles talking about what went weird with Andromeda, where they mentioned that this happened. That was this actual like brain drain, which means that the analogy of it being the ex-girlfriend isn't quite right. It's more like this is the vampire that caused your ex-girlfriend to slowly wither away in front of you.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Okay,
but let's talk about the game itself, though, rather than just feeling sad for ourselves.
So it seems like they've eschewed the epic first-person role-playing game with a mad story that has worked for them in the past with Mass Effect and Dragon Age, and are going for more of a grindy loot-based system a la Destiny, The Division.
Or Borderlands, I think. This seems a little bit like Borderlands,
oh,
where
God,
like
I hope
things
not.
Yeah.
Like drop. Oh, you didn't like Borderlands?
Moving on.
Okay. Anyway, I like that seems pretty cool to me. And if it is like a multiplayer thing, I don't know. I'm pretty excited. I just need to find some friends now.
Yeah, that has come up a number of times. Like, I'm keen to play this with people, but there are a lot of people who I have seen say, like, the reason that I play BioWare games is because I don't have any friends, and I can pretend that this motley crew of elves or space frogs are all my like friends and lovers. So,
and I think like the other thing is, it's not even like a friends thing, it's also like a time thing, because like I might be free on one day, you're not necessarily free on that day, and it's sort of like a back and forth.
Yeah,
it seems like,
but Rex was always available.
This but it seems like this game sort of like has that, because at one point the main girl was saying that, oh, she'll come back to this cavern later with this other person kind of thing.
Yeah.
So like I don't know, like I'm excited but cautious.
Yeah. So we haven't discussed what the game like is, where we've just
we
been,
don't
like,
know. You just get an exoskeleton and you go off and do things.
Yeah, it's a game where it looks like you get to go in like an Iron Man suit and fly around in the jungle fighting cool like dinosaur monsters.
And you get to customize your exosuit as well, so you can be a flyy person, or you can be a tank, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's always important when we discuss these video games that we're talking about or watching that we mention, for the sake of the viewer, the thing that's happening in the video game. Yes. It looks like a cool third-person, like, flying robot.
Was it
game?
Third or first-person?
Third. It's first when you're talking to people in the city, but then as soon as you get out into the game, it's a third-person game.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, like, the HUD was, like, almost non-existent as well, which I don't know if they're going to keep heads-up display.
Yeah.
So, like, there was basically nothing on the screen except for a few things in the corner. So I'm wondering if that's going to be the same, or if they are going to add on quite significantly, because this is just the alpha, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it was just alpha footage. It's just a marketing video. It could be anything.
Yeah.
They could have pulled it from anywhere. Someone could have conjured it up. A magician, maybe.
Yeah. It could be the result of necromancers.
So Anthem is out fourth quarter of 2018 for PS4, Xbox One, and the PC. Moving on now, another game that we liked from E3, A Way Out, made by the guys behind Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
I thought you were going to say it was A Tale of Two Brothers for a second. It was ages ago that I played it, and I was trying to remember the name. That makes it,
well,
I didn't
they
realize.
Were brothers.
Yeah, they were. But I actually didn't realize that until tonight, and so I'm glad you've said that, because now, after watching the trailer, I watched it again, and it makes a whole lot more sense. I think it looks really interesting. It looks like you're trying to escape from a prison, but you've got to work together.
Yeah, so it's a, another third-person game.
Co-op.
So it's forced co-op. You can't play by yourself, or you can't play by yourself again.
They're quite insistent.
You have to play with another person.
Yeah, they're quite insistent on you being on the couch or like next to somebody.
Which
like
I
even
love.
If you do offline or if you're doing it like I guess over the internet, like when you're not next to each other, it's still going to be split screen, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, I mean it's a cool conceit though because like you are each going to be trying to tackle the prison-based or prison escape-based activities. Mm. As a pair, so you need to see what the other person is doing, but like you'll be watching, you know, some people might be playing a certain sequence and it'll be kind of a little bit cinematic, and the other guy will just be walking around, you know, with the camera showing his like generic video game view action. So it's gonna be a fun mix of like picture in picture stuff. It looks really stylish.
And it looks like it's from the 70s or something. Like, it doesn't seem like it's like modern technology or anything either. So it looks like that'll be pretty interesting.
Or they're just very unstylish dudes.
Yeah. Or they're just from, you know, somewhere in middle America where that technology is not prevalent, which is also true. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what I thought too. I couldn't really tell from just a trailer. But it looks like, you know, it's a lot of team bonding and working with your friends. And I actually just love the idea. You know, it's just always too long in between games where you get something where you can actually just sit down on the couch with a couple of controllers and play and try and work something out together. But it looks like it might have a couple of emotional moments. There was a nice sequence of him hugging a daughter or something at the end. I can't remember. So I don't know. I think I might grab this one.
So A Way Out, do we know of a release date or anything like that?
Might have to check. It's for PlayStation 4 at the very least.
Sometime in the future.
I'm going to say 2018.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I think we've just wrapped up our E3 coverage. If you'd like to know more, it's still happening. There's still more videos coming through. Definitely get online and have a gander and see what's coming out. Cool. Yeah. But now, B's going to tell us about a new game that was developed here in Australia called Monument Valley 2.
Yeah, so it happened over the Apple conference. They were like, hey, we've got all these really cool announcements. BTW, this game is out right now on your phone, and it's really cool. So it's a sequel to Monument Valley, which came out from Us 2 Games, and it's this really cool sort of like M.C. Escher-type game where you're able to turn around the play space and depending on the view that you're looking at, it'll all be different, which is pretty neat. So something that looks like it's going right to left, you can change it and suddenly it's going up and down. Kind of hard to explain because M.C. Escher is kind of weird. It's basically, if you've ever seen the one with like the upside down
stairs,
and everything seems to connect in a weird way, that's basically what you're looking at.
So your character is like, they're going through, they're navigating this environment. It's kind of a maze.
Yeah.
That's based on optical illusions, right? So you can twist things and shift different parts around to open up new pathways.
Yeah, so it's basically just twisting things and then tapping the screen to get your character to move forward, mostly to get from one end to like a door or something like that. So it's pretty easy. Somehow they inject a bit of story in there, which is really cute. So this one's sort of like the first one was just sort of you're this little, kind of like a princess almost, that you're going through these lands and you're trying, and then there these weird little crows that sort of keep flopping around in different areas, and they seem kind of dangerous, but like it turns out that they're sort of part of the kingdom, which is pretty cool. But this one is more of a mother-daughter thing where it's more of imparting knowledge and imparting their traditions from one generation to another, which was pretty cool. It's this mom kind of showing her daughter how to navigate the world, how to twist certain parts of the land in order to then, you know, progress through. And it's kind of like a weirdly spiritual game, but like in a really good way. And it was really neat. The only thing is, like, I paid for it. I was like, yes, buying right at this second. And it was $7.99 Australian. And, like, for me, it was actually kind of short. Like, I think there'll be DLC, and that'll be sort of free DLC. I think the Monument Valley 1, there was some DLC that was free. So that was nice, and not having to go through any sort of paid advertisements either. Like, you know, oh, you finished this level, why don't you watch this gardening scapes video for the next 30 seconds? So that was kind of nice. Like, it was like this nice cohesive thing that I appreciate with like a paid game. But it's so beautiful. There are these gradients. The music is really nice. The like, there was this one part where you go through four different lands, four different puzzles, basically, but it zooms in. So you go into a door, and then it zooms into this like little colored piece that you thought was just in the middle, but it turns out it's the next puzzle. It's the next like walkways.
Cool.
It was really, really neat. Like, yeah, there were a lot of really cool visuals. And then, like, the little girl, your daughter, basically, kind of grows up as well throughout the time. And your timelines sort of are, like, the same, but then they become sort of not stagnated, but then, like, they're sort of different as well. And it's, I don't know, it was just really neat and beautiful.
Have you, you played the first one, obviously.
Yep.
Like, do you feel like there's enough here to warrant this being a sequel?
Yeah, I think so, because you are telling a different story, where the first one was, like, discovering this new kingdom and trying to figure out, like, what you're even traveling through. Like, is there, like, something dark here? Where this one is more about passing down traditions, and you see different women, I guess it's different women, different people that have gone through the lands, and they impart their knowledge to you.
Okay.
And like, this is a really cool thing. At the end of certain levels, you get to draw your sort of own mandala, I guess, like this cool mm-hmm. thing, and then it'll actually start twisting, and like, and you get to see your physical creation that you used your finger to like make kind of twisting apart and is a part of the game, which was kind of nice.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Mechanically, does it depart much from the original game?
Not really. They did do a few new things, where this time there were like these plants and it was a little bit more organic. So you would move down a door and the plant would shrink down. And then you, because it restricted sunlight, and then you would move the door up and then more sunlight would come and the plant would grow. And depending on where you are, you can either be inside of the plant when it's dark, or you can grow and like be on top of the plant and stuff. So that there was a couple more organic and things. The totem, if you played the first one, came back, and this time it was a doorway,
right.
Which was kind of cool. So you would move around and have to go into a doorway, move your totem around to move that like smaller doorway around, so then you can get to different levels. Kind of frustrating, but I'm actually really happy because I didn't use any walkthroughs for this one, so I felt really, really happy with this one.
Excellent.
It's so pretty. It's so pretty. It makes me cry. I had to play on my iPad because the phone did zero justice to it. It was too small.
Oh wow.
Like, it's like, not that it's a highly detailed game, it's just like the colors, like just the vibrancy and just the way they use the colors was just so good that like, yeah, there was just something about the phone that just wasn't as nice. Like, I guess if you have a Plus, it's really nice, but like a bigger screen is definitely a little bit better for this.
It's a real showcase then for the lovely Retina screen that you have on your iPad.
Yes, and also like the perfect thing for Apple to be like, yeah, you remember this really nice game that's basically an Apple exclusive? Like, here it is, go play it and remember how much you love us.
Hey, I played the original Monument Valley on my Android phone.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, like how many months later? Like 6 or 7?
It didn't even really matter.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, well, we can talk about your review in like 6 months, okay?
Okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay.
Snap.
All right, so there's some Apple-Android rivalry happening here. I thought we were above this. I thought we were like, you know.
I'm sorry, didn't we just argue about this before the radio started?
Yeah, but not on air.
Oh,
we're trying
sorry.
To project an air of professionalism, oh. impartiality. That's all being broken down now.
I'm sorry.
Just all a bunch of, you know, brand loyalists here.
Isn't that what video game people are about? Didn't we just talk about E3 where it was just like
journalists.
Xbox? And...
We're journalists, goddammit.
Oh, we're above all of that.
Yep. Yes.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Which, I mean, we're above all of that, and B is not.
Monument Valley 2 is available now for iOS, later for Android. Thank you very much, B. That's going to bring us to the end of this week's episode of Zed Games. Thanks cool. so much for tuning in. Pleasure to have your company. Back next week at the same time for more Zed Games goodness. We'll catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.